I'd like to say good afternoon to everyone. We're very thankful this afternoon to have you on our call. And we hope and pray if you're visiting with us that you have come on to hear what thus said the Lord and then render obedience to it. If you're not a member of the Church of Christ, we believe in the Churches of Christ that the Bible is right and every word of the Bible is right. You've got to believe that Jesus hung, bled, and died on Calvary. Shed his blood and washed his sins away in baptism. That same blood purchased his church, his bride. His wife, the Church of Christ. To our brothers and sisters who may be visiting with us from other congregations, we welcome you as well. All right, this afternoon, continue our study of the book of Hebrews. We are now going into chapter number 11. Faith is the substance of things hoped for this afternoon. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Let's go back to chapter 10, verse 38, start there, because it kind of leads into the faith discussion, which we'll be doing in the next few sermons. We'll be talking more about faith. Now, verse 38 says, "Now the just shall live by faith. And if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back our petition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." So if you don't believe, that means you don't have faith. And therefore you're going to draw back, and at the end of the day you'll lose your soul. Only those who live by faith will be justified or just or found not guilty because they live by faith. When you live by faith, you live it according to the word of God. And verse number, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, he says, "Therefore faith, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Here's my title. Faith is the substance. You think about building a house as a foundation, or you build on top of it, the suburbs, the below. Everything, all the weight is on that. If I was in the pulpit, I would take the Bible, put it on my foot, under my feet, and I'll stand on it, because to show that everything we believe in this that we believe as an individual must come directly to us from the Bible, the Word of God. So faith is the substance of the base, the sub, the bottom foundation on which something rests or stands on. Our faith is the foundation for our hope. We believe that there is a heaven to win, and that we hope to make heaven our home. We also believe there's a hell to miss. See, faith is the evidence of what we don't see. Our belief, we say beliefs and faith, you're talking about the same thing. Our belief, our faith is the evidence. Evidence of what we do not see. We have never seen Jesus on the cross. We believe in him. We never saw the wall of jasper. We believe there's a wall of jasper. We've never saw the street of gold, but we believe it because we read about it. See, our faith comes from reading. We have faith in this place called heaven. We have faith that there's a place called hell, the bottom of the pit, the lake of fire, because we read about it. And so now we believe that we want to stay out of that place called hell, and we believe we want to go to a place called heaven because we read about it. Now, Romans 10:17 is what Paul said. So then faith, or your belief, coming by hearing. And hearing, notice how it comes, by the word of God. This is important to development of faith, understanding that the word of God is where our faith is developed. What God says is the substance, the foundation of everything we believe, everything we stand on, what sits under our belief system, is the word of God, the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E. What God say is all the evidence we need. We don't have to see it. We walk by faith and not by sight. We believe it because God said it. Let's go on to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 2. He said, "For by it," by what? By faith. "The elders obtained a good report." The elders of old, guys like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, got a good report because they believed. Or they have faith in what God said do. Somebody this evening ought to want a good report among those heroes of faith. We're going to be going through that in chapter 11. Then it requires that you believe what God say and then obey it. If that's the case, that's what you want. If you want to be a man or woman of faith, then you got to believe in the word of God. Then you got to be obedient to it. Verse 3. Through faith, the Bible said, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Those I see is by the word of God. So that things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. What is he saying here? Through faith, through our belief, is how we understand the creation of the world. That among the things that we did not see happen, we know it was framed by the word of God. But all of our knowledge, our faith is based on, sits on the fact that God said it himself. God said it. God is our creator. We get it from the word of God. This is the book that's given to us by the Holy Spirit called the Bible. That's what we call it. That's the word of God. So our knowledge about how the creation all happened came from the Bible. That's how. That's why we believe that God hung the moon on nothing. And the stars and all those things are obedient to it. We believe the creation took place because we can read about it. We can read about how it all happened. Now, verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaking. Now this is found in Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Genesis chapter 4, verse 1 through 5. If you turn there quickly. Genesis chapter 4, verse 1 through 5. And the Bible says, Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived, and bore Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. She again bore his brother Abel. So here's Cain and Abel. Abel was the keeper of the sheep, but Cain was the tiller of the field. So both of them were workers. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain bought the fruit of the ground and offered them to the Lord. So Cain brings the offering to the Lord. Verse 4, and Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of the flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. What happened here? What happened here? Simply put, Abel obeyed the word of God by giving the first as God commanded, and Cain didn't. That's why the Hebrew writer says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testified of his gift, and by it he had been dead, yet speak. He being dead, yet speak. Here it is. Faith, see, it's simply, just keeping it simple. It's if we do what God said, then you believe God meant what he said. So Abel knew God wanted him to put first, give him the first of the flock. So he now is a witness, even as a dead man, of one who is righteous, who's considered righteous, is the person, the man, the brother or sister, who will obey by faith the word of God. So that could be you, that could be me. He is a witness that he did it. My question is, what about you? What's on your faith report card? Are you obeying the word of God? What will be said about you after you die? Do you have a report for your family that they'll be saying, you know, by faith, my mom and dad did that, this or that? Do you have God first in your life today? Is he first in your life? Is he first in your time? Is he first in your offering? Do you give to God first when you offer? You give back to him? Are you one like Abel? You know, would God be pleased with you? Abel was a man that got the attention of God over his brother because he offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by doing exactly what God told him to do. Let's look at verse 5. By faith, Enoch. So we've looked at Abel. Now I'm talking about Enoch was translated that he should not see death. And it was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony. Notice what his testimony was. That he pleased God. Now, this is found in Genesis chapter 5, verse number 18, if you turn there. Genesis chapter 5, verse 18. Genesis chapter 5, verse 18. The Bible says there that Jared lived 162 years, and he begot Enoch. This is the beginning of learning about Enoch. And Jared lived, after he begot Enoch, 800 years, and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years, and he begot Methuselah. And Enoch, notice that Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah. 300 years, he begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. He didn't die a physical death because he walked. That being walked with God means he obeyed God. He obeyed the word of God. Are you walking with God today? Are you walking? Enoch walked with God. And there was a blessing to come and walk with God. And if you want to call this afternoon, more than likely, you want to call it 3:30 in the afternoon or Sunday afternoon, you're trying to walk with God. Well, what is walking with God? You walk by faith. We walk by faith. You believe what God says. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated from before his translation. He had this testimony, here it is, that he pleased God. He had that testimony that he pleased God. How did he please God? He pleased God by walking with God. In other words, by faith in God, believing and obeying the word of God. Here's how I know. Listen to verse 6 of Hebrew writing. It says, but without faith. It just got to be talking about Abel. It just got to be talking about Enoch. And then he says to us, but without faith, without belief in the word of God, it is impossible to please him. Notice that. Mark that in your Bible. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And without believing 100% in the word of God, you cannot please God. You cannot please God. For he that cometh to God must believe. See that? Faith and belief being the same thing. If you come to God, you must believe. It's absolutely must that you believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently what? Seek him. You got to seek God according to his will and not your own. So anyone who don't have faith, anyone who don't believe in the Bible, they can never please God. It's impossible to do. And let me just drop this. Members of the church, many members of the church. I've been in church a long time, and there are some members who they still believe, even though they're members of the Church of Christ. They believe that they're Christian in other churches. They believe that you can go to heaven in other ways than what the Bible says. But that person is lost. A person who believes that the Bible, that they're right and the Bible is wrong, that person does not have faith, and you cannot please God until you believe in the Bible. If you believe in the word of God, then you'll believe in one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who's above all, in you all. One body, which is the church. That's all you can believe in. You can't believe in what any Jesus would do, any church would do, any God would do. Not with this book. If you say, I believe the Bible, then you believe in one Lord, one God, one church. That's what you can believe in. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4, that's it. But here's the main point this afternoon. Faith being the substance. You know, Lord, with no floor, the house falls. With no support, the house, no substance, no foundation, everything crumbles. You're trying to get to heaven. You got to have a foundation called faith. You got to hope. That's the only thing going to get you through life. That's the only thing going to get you to heaven. God, without it, you cannot please God. It is impossible to please God. One don't have faith in the word of God, the Bible, as we talk about. If one don't believe what he says, any word, that person can't come to God. It's impossible. Without faith, it's impossible to please. And he that come to God must. It's the strongest word in the English language. You must believe. You must believe. How many of you got wavering faith? We talked about this morning. I mean, you waver. Some things you don't know about yet. You say, well, I know that's what the Bible says, but I can't see nothing wrong with instrument. That's what the Bible says. I can't see, you know, I got to be at church every Sunday. I mean, what is this? What did I have to do? Well, you have to believe what the Bible says. If you don't believe what you read in the Bible, which is the Word of God, listen carefully. You will never get to heaven because it's impossible to please God. I believe many people will be lost because of this. Jesus even said it himself. Many are going to go the wrong way. And it's going to be because they didn't believe. They didn't have the faith necessary to do exactly what God told them to do. It's like when you talking about saving someone's soul. Jesus said he'd go all over to preach the gospel. Every creature that believes in him baptized shall be saved. Some say, well, no, we ain't got to be baptized. You got to be believed. Well, that's what we're talking about right there. Let's see. If your faith is in Jesus, and this is one that really strikes me all the time. I say, you believe in Jesus? Yes. Well, what did you learn about Jesus then? Well, you learn about Jesus from this book called the Bible. So if you say, well, I believe that. I believe in Jesus, but I don't believe in the Bible. Well, then your whole system of belief is messed up because you believe in Jesus, not because you saw him with your eyes. It's in the same book. So if the other stuff in the book is wrong, what makes Jesus the truth? You never saw him. We believe in Jesus. We believe in baptism. We believe in the Church of Christ. We believe that the Bible says what it says, and that's why our faith, our belief is based on exactly what it says, and it came by hearing the Word of God. And just to say this to members of the church, if you're studying with a person who don't or refuse to believe in the Bible, it is really a waste of time. I always teach people in my personal evangelism class, when a person don't believe in the Bible, become that person's friend so that you can help that person when they start wanting, when they're seeking God to be a true worshiper. You help them to understand what is it about the Bible that you can help them believe. If you can't help them believe in the Bible, the Word of God, there's nothing we can do for that person to please God. That person cannot please God, for that person don't believe in the Word of God. So if a person, you're studying with someone and they say, well, I see it, but I don't believe it, then it's really a point that you have to stop then and start trying to see what I can do to help this person believe the Bible. Yeah. Now, here's the other thing. People say, I always make this point. When a person say that, they don't believe, or they talking about their faith, and I say, well, I need to see it or something. I need to. They got to put their hands on it to believe it or something like that. But we do a lot of things by faith. You think about it. This is something that we do all the time. We go to a doctor, and many of us, we may have known a doctor at the time we go in, we get to know them because they get into our personal life, you get to know that doctor a little bit. But then he write a prescription in a language that you can't read, and you take that prescription. We used to take it, now they send it in for you, but we used to take that prescription to a pharmacist. The pharmacist, they go back in the back and they fill that medication for you, put it in a bottle, come back out and say, hey, they're going to take one every 4 hours, or one two times a day. The man put the medicine in the bottle. You don't know what it is. You don't know what's in it. You took it by faith. You pay for it. Then by faith, you take that medicine so you don't die from your sickness. But when it comes to your soul, Jesus, the doctor, has never lost a case. So Jesus had wrote the prescription we have today to save our soul. It's all in the Bible. We call it the New Testament. We call it the doctrine of Christ. And so how do we do that? Well, we go to a doctor. We go to Jesus. And we take the prescription he prescribed for us to save our soul. And we don't add to that prescription. We don't take away from it. And we don't question it. Because if he said it, that means we believe it. Just like you do when you go to your doctor. Well, the brother, I don't do that. I don't take everything my doctor tells me. And I'm not going to take that. I don't know what's in it. What amazes me today is people, when it comes to like the vaccine, they become scientists and everything else. Been taking Tylenol and ibuprofen and taking blood pressure medicine, insulin, and everything else. But when it came to the vaccine, all of a sudden, I don't know what's in it. Well, you don't know what's in none of it. You're not a scientist. You're not a chemist. I mean, maybe some of you are, but most people are not. Most people take, you know, we take medication because the doctor prescribed it. When it comes to being saved, the Word of God becomes what we must know. We must understand what God has put in this book called the Bible, and we must obey it. And Jesus said, the physician himself said, in John 8:24, I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not, that's faith, that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Jesus comes straight out and said, if a person don't believe that Jesus is Son of God, they're going to die in their sins. He's known as the great physician himself, Matthew 9:12. And he came to save the sin-sick people. I want to give you that kind of analogy because we do these things all the time when it comes to the Bible. People want to add to it and take away from it rather than just trust what the doctor said and go about and do what he told you to do. And let's go back to Hebrews chapter 11. As I close. And verse 7. By faith, Noah, y'all know, remember Noah, don't you? Everybody know about the ark. Being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is, notice, by faith. God warned people. Through Noah, through his man servant Noah. God warned and Noah believed what God said, even though he had never seen rain. God warned and Noah moved with fear when God said move. God warned and Noah prepared the ark to save his house. Noah built the ark to the exact dimension that God prescribed. When a person walk by faith, we do exactly or precisely what God's word say without addition or subtraction. If you want to go over there and read about Noah, you can go to Genesis chapter 6, verse 13 through 22. And verse 22 says, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. So if you read through there, he told him how big the build an ark, how wide to build an ark, and told him how many doors to put on, one window, one door. He went right down through there and told him everything to do. And the Bible said, Noah did according to all that God commanded him. Brothers, that's just like us today. If God say move, we should be like Noah. We move and do what God says. Somebody need to move this evening. Maybe Noah, we getting ready to come up on a new year. Move by faith. Start getting your life right. Start doing things according to the word of God. Why wouldn't you be baptized? If Jesus said, he that believeth is baptized shall be saved. Why would you fight that? Why would you ever fight against the Lord's commands? If you're trying to get to heaven, you say you believe in the word of God, and you believe in the words of Jesus. Jesus was the one who told us in Matthew 28:18, all power had been given to him in heaven and earth. Go teach all nations. Baptizing him in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Jesus was the one that said in Matthew 16:18, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He said he was going to build his church. It would belong to him. But Jesus in Matthew 24:35, as I close, left us a warning. And all of us need to take heed to it. We'll pick up next week in Hebrews 11. Matthew 24:35, Bible, Jesus speaking here says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour, knoweth no man, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But notice it, but as in the days of Noah, were so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came, and took them away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man. It's coming in. And when you notice how he talked about Noah, people didn't obey God. And everybody, when the rain started coming down, everybody who wasn't in the ark was lost. When Jesus come back, if you're not in the ark, today is the church of Christ. Peter, when he spoke about this in 2 Peter 2:5, he talked about Noah. He said, spare not the old world, but save Noah and the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. That's what happened. God said he was going to send the rain, and he did it. Noah saved, believed it, and therefore Noah was saved because of it. What will you do today? Well, Peter was saying, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20, which sometime were disobedient, once the long-suffering God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, where a few, that is eight souls, were saved by water. The light figure, watch this, where to even baptism does also not save us, not to put away the filth of the flesh, but to answer good conscience toward God. Brothers, sisters, and friends, and listening audience, you've got to have faith as your substance. You've got to have your foundation of faith. That's why I've encouraged many of our members to go back to the first principle. The first principle class, and the former is still doing it there. I kicked it back up again on Wednesdays. But you got to have a foundation of faith, and once you establish your faith in the Bible, on Christ, the solid rock you stand, all of the ground is sinking. Sand. Faith is your substance. It's your foundation. To get to heaven, you got to have faith. And it's simply put, this whole lesson is just about, do you believe in the Bible? Do you believe in the Word of God? If you do, then you have faith. Now, if you believe it, then you'll do what it says do. When you do what it says do, then you have your faith is active. You have an active, obedient faith. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. If you're on the call this afternoon, and you're not a Christian, you got to believe with all of your heart that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes him should not perish but have everlasting life. But God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And Jesus came himself and lived among men, born of a virgin Mary, lived among men, he knew no sin, he did no wrong, lived the last 24 hours of his life, he lived on death row. And they crucified and executed him on the cross of Calvary after beating him brutally and treating him as if he'd done something wrong. He had done nothing wrong. And you know today, if you're on the call today and you believe in Jesus, then you ought to believe in his words, what you must do to be saved. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. The good news is that he did die. The good news is that he suffered so you could be saved. Believe that with all of your heart. Be willing to repent of your sins. Confess Jesus to be the Son of God before me. And then be baptized as commanded by Jesus for the remission or the forgiveness of your sin. Then the Lord added to the only church in the Bible. Acts 2:47, the Lord added to the church daily, so you shouldn't be saved. And the church in the Bible is referred to as the church of Christ. Romans 16:16. Salute one another, all the kids, the churches of Christ salute you. If you're on the call this evening, you are a man, a woman, visiting with us, and you want to be saved, you're not a member of the church of Christ, just hit 5-star on your phone. If you're a member of the Lord's church, you're going through some things, you're struggling with life, you're struggling with sickness and health, or you're struggling with your children, you're struggling with losing a loved one, you're struggling, you feel like your faith is weak. Remember, faith is the substance. You got to have faith. You got to put your faith back in God, trust the Lord, ask for prayer. He's true to his promises. He'll bless you in a special way. Don't be afraid to go to God in prayer. Don't be afraid to ask him for forgiveness. Don't be afraid to go and believe when you ask for forgiveness. He's going to forgive you. Believe when you ask for it, become and help you. We just sing to believe in him. Believe that God is able and he'll do his part. Just accept his will in your life. And I'll be like Enoch and Abel and Noah. They are men of faith. Will you be in that number? Will you be one who will be known as a man or woman of faith? I hope so. As we study together, as we continue to study Hebrew 11, you'll see many, many others who are men and women of faith in the Bible that are recorded because they obeyed the Word of God. And that's all we got to do, all right? Just obey the Word of God. We'll be making heaven our home.